What we're going to do this morning is really just concentrate on five verses. So five verses from verse 2 through to verse 6 in Colossians 4. But really, I have really enjoyed in preparing this, and I've just realized I forgot to change the wee date or the text on the screen there. But I want to just start at the back of, again, every day is a learning day. Chapter 3, verses 1 to 8 in Colossians. Since then you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above. Our relationship with Christ. Then our relationship with the church, with each other. Verses 9 through to 17. How we interact in fellowship, day and daily, as a fellowship. We thought last week about how we interact with each other in family, husbands, wives, parents, children, how we engage with each other in relationship. The last couple of verses, slaves and masters, our relationships in the workplace. And then, as the passage goes on, we come to these verses, and I'm just going to read them again. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And it's not a tag on. Again, originally there were no chapters, there were no verses. This passage just flows from our relationships in work to our relationships in the world. I looked at it and I thought, oh, prayer, proclamation, there's my P words for my alliteration, can't help myself. And I read in one of the commentaries, talking to God about people and talking to people about God. Thinking, oh, I love that. Talking to God about people in prayer, talking to people about God as we preach. But what is preaching? We'll get there. Folks, let's just drift through these few words together. Only five verses. Prayer. Being faithful. Devote yourself to prayer. What kind of word is devote? That's not a cheap and easy word. I remember a lot of years ago, our middle boy headed off. He was over at Oxford Brookes, no, not Oxford, Oxford, just Oxford Brookes. And he joined a rowing club. And he said to the coach, I just want to kind of row for fun. And the coach said, that's not the kind of club we are. So Connor then started playing rugby. If you're devoting yourself to this club, it's all in. Devote yourself to prayer. Be faithful in your commitment to it. Being watchful. Why does Paul write, in your prayers, be watchful? Well, I believe it's, again, Ephesians 6, as Paul writes, we live in a battle every day. Not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, the rulers of this dark world. Therefore, put on the armor of God. Part of that in prayer is to be watchful. Again, Peter writes, self-controlled and alert, for your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. Be thankful. What did we think just a few weeks ago? And overflowing with thankfulness. When we know God's blessing, maybe even blessing in the battle, that we are thankful. So devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And then Paul says too, be thoughtful. Would you pray for us too? Would you pray for us too, that words may be given me as I begin to speak and share about the Lord? So be faithful, be watchful, be thankful, be thoughtful in your prayer life. And then there's this other second part of verse 3. That God may open a door for our message. Paul says, pray for possibilities. Pray for opportunities. Again, can we remember, where is Paul writing from when he's writing to the church at Colossae? He's in prison. He's in prison writing these words. He said, but pray for me and pray for yourselves. Pray for possibilities to tell other people about me. Actually, we read in Philippians 1, 12 to 14, that because he's in prison, well, the good news of the Lord has become known throughout the whole palace guard. The Praetorian Guard. The big guns. And every day, on different shifts, four of them are in the prison cell with Paul. And he's not sitting on the bench sleeping. He's talking to them about the Lord. And they're hearing, and some of them are responding, and they're going back to the room where they all gather for their lunch, and they're talking about this boy that's down in the prison, and he keeps talking about Jesus. And throughout the whole palace guard, the good news of the gospel has become known. Philippians 2 and 14 says, you are in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. It has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Hard times. Paul's in prison and he's speaking about the Lord. Any of us remember COVID? Hard times. Silly. Karen and myself and Robin was across with us in Manor Cunningham. And Karen and I, bless us, for I don't know how long, we did church in the corner of our living room and videoed it. And videoed a midweek Bible study and a kids thing and a Saturday song. And stuff was getting pumped out all the time on the church Facebook page. And there was one day the three of us went out for a walk around the village, because you were allowed to do that. And we're just going down past McLaughlin's Bar, Mary's pub. And Mary, who ran the pub, was outside. Reverend Gordy, how are you going? Here, yous are singing well, the purries. Okay? I says, Mary, are you watching the wee services? Watch them all the time. And your Saturday song and your Wednesday stuff, the Bible study stuff. She says, no, I do the rosary as well every night at 10 o'clock in the cathedral. But I watch them all. Whoa. Another day, we're walking up around Groggy, because you all know where Groggy is. And we're walking up around just out in the countryside, but above the church. And we turned out at this crossroads, and the next thing, this wee head appeared up over the hedge. Man we had never met before. Philip, as I found out. Same story. Reverend, loving the wee services, yous are singing well, the purries, again. Sorry, who are you? Watching every video that's being produced. The gospel, through hard times, is finding opportunity. That may be the hospital corridors. I don't know what it might be for you, but the possibilities where you can be a light for the Lord, where you can share his voice, his truth. Hard places. Karen and I cut our teeth for 9 years in the inner city, Belfast. Manor Street, Sandy Row. Manor Street, 40-foot high piece wall. up through the middle of the street. And I can remember a few years later, we'd moved. I'd gone to work for Evangelical Ministries. And I saw this little thing, a 19-week community course at Queen's University. And thought, actually, with where I've worked, where we've been, I would like to do that, funded by European whatever. And I applied for it, and I got accepted. And every morning, once a week, came down in the bus up the Shore Road, and just passing Mount Vernon, Michael got on. Community worker in Mount Vernon, you know, with the big mural, prepared for peace but ready for war, on the end of the flats. He had spent time at Her Majesty's pleasure. And we got the bus on into the city centre, walked up the Queen's together. End of the 19 weeks, there was a field trip to Galway. And I say, field trip. You don't need to write it up. There's no whatever. I'm thinking, this is just a session. And the folks for 19 weeks from all parts of the province, from all faith backgrounds, from all sectarian backgrounds, political backgrounds, they're together. And I was very open about my faith and the work I had done, and thinking, this is a final trip. You don't have to go on it. Thinking, so I knew what it was going to be, folks. It was just going to be a drinking session. But for 19 weeks, I'd travelled the bus with Michael. I'd rubbed shoulders with lots of other people. And in EM, Evangelical Ministries, in the office, I chatted, look, should I go on this or not? Because usually this is the stuff for the Christians bail out. But actually, I believe it's the very place that we should be, the hard places. Went on the trip. First night, you know, we're going to visit Gaeltacht community, you know, community work and so on. It was fascinating. But the first night, into Galway town, blues festival on, having a meal together, and then the drinking started, and then half of them headed on from the pub to a club. By this time, the lecturer was hammered. And Michael and I helped him back to the accommodation where we were staying at the university. This story is going somewhere. The two of us threw him on his bed in his room, pulled the door, and off we went to our beds. The next morning, in the refectory, in the canteen, me and Michael, everybody else was hungover. And we're sitting having breakfast together, and Michael says, Gordy, how did you come to faith? How did you become a Christian? And over breakfast for 45 minutes, I shared my testimony, my faith story, with this individual from a really difficult background and a really difficult area. Should you be there? Should you not be there? Where are the possibilities to share faith in Jesus in the hard times and the hard places? Paul writes, be self-controlled and alert. Or Peter writes, self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around. But Paul writes that we should be in a crooked and depraved generation in which we shine like stars in the universe. How do we do that, folks? How do we get to the place of proclamation? Where are those possibilities? And we need to completely bathe it in prayer. Proclamation. Verses 3, the end, to verse 6. So that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, Paul writes, for which I am an ambassador in chains, and pray that I would proclaim it clearly, as I should. Colossians 1 and 27. For God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's what I shared sitting in the canteen at the university in Galway, wrestling with whether I should have been there or not, but actually thinking this is where the church needs to be. What does that look like for us today? How, folks, do we share faith in life? Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity, Paul writes. We talked about the old life, the sinful nature that we put off, to put on the fruit of the Spirit as we live for Jesus, that Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 3, that we are God's living letters, known and read by everybody. People are watching. People are watching every day in the supermarket, in the sports club, in the shop, wherever it be socially that you mix and meet. People are watching. The very famous quotation, preach the gospel at all times and use words if necessary, attributed to Francis of Assisi. It's actually not what he said. And one of the lecturers at Union College goes mad. He says, it's not right. It's not. Preach the gospel and use words. Preach the gospel in your life and use words. Actually, the phrase is this, from Rule 1221, Chapter 12, of the Friary, all the friars should preach by their deeds. That our lives should speak of Jesus, but also our words need to speak of Jesus. I love in that passage in Philippians 2 where Paul writes, as you shine like stars in the universe, that's your life, and as you hold out the word of life, that's your lips. That's proclamation, both in our life and through our mouths, from our lips. How do we do that? Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer everyone. Just look at the screen for a minute, folks, and ask, where does my life fit with this? As we pray, as we look for possibility and opportunity, and as we share the gospel, both in how we live and in what we say. The last verse in the passage, let your conversation, and as I read, one of the commentators said, conversation, dialogue, not monologue. And how easy it is for at times, once we get on our gospel high horse, we start roaring and shouting at people, but we never listen. It should be two-way. Let your conversation, let it be tender. Always be full of grace. Not roaring and shouting, condemning harshly people. Let it be tasteful, seasoned with salt. Should have brought, have it in the wee store in my office, Mr. Smith's Salt and Shake Crisps. And if you don't rip open the little blue bag of salt and shake it in, the crisps are just bland. But the salt makes a difference. Matthew 5, you're the salt of the earth, you're the light of the world. Folks, wherever it be that we rub shoulders with people, we should change the taste to make it better. We should be the flavor that excites and inspires. Let our conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Every conversation will be different. Paul talks about how he preached the gospel differently in different places. He shared differently in different places. Going to the synagogue, or in Athens, going and saying, let me tell you about this God. You have a statue to an unknown God. Well, let me tell you about him. His way of going was different, but he was able to give an answer to everyone. And again, we're called, always be prepared, 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. And again, Peter writes, but do this with gentleness and respect. That we not only speak about God's grace, but that we speak with grace in how we rub shoulders with people. Folks, for you and I today, prayer, devoting ourselves, being watchful, thankful, possibilities that God may open doors for our message. Proclamation, gossiping the gospel, be it at the school gate, be it in the queue at the supermarket, wherever it be. Steve Brady, in his little book, he talks about the YBH factor. He says, this is all very good, but yes, but how? And actually, in the five verses, there's two hints that are very helpful. Community. If you look at the first few verses, yourselves, us, are we. It's not the Lone Ranger. It's the community of God's people sharing faith together. So we do this in community. Wednesday night coming, we will be praying for opportunities. And we will be praying for those possibilities to proclaim the good news as Holiday Club comes up and other different bits and pieces. But so much more than this, folks. We need to get out of the car park to talk about our Jesus. Doing it with consistency is the other thing. Devote yourselves to prayer. Devote. Make the most of every opportunity. Always be full of grace. So as we seek to share our faith with others, to be prayerful, to pray for the possibilities, and then to have the courage to proclaim, to speak of the one who is the Savior of our souls and is for the society in which we live. May his cry of love reach out across the lands.